Oh, it is. It's an absolute honor to be standing in front of you today. Yes, my aunt, my two aunts, and my uncle, I believe he is the senior pastor here, and Pastor Steve, I want to thank y'all so much for giving me such an opportunity to be here in front of you all, and to really be an encouragement. I actually grew up in the state of New York, in Queens, born and raised, up until like 11, I moved. At a very young age, I got involved with the wrong people. I was heavily like, I even ran away from home. I was in the wrong crowd. I was in the wrong, had a lot of bad relationships that led to me doing some things that I'm really not proud of. And crazy part, my whole family got together one night, and they said that David cannot live longer. If he's gonna stay in New York, he's gonna be completely influenced, and it's gonna wreck him. So you know what? Let's send him out. And they decide to send me to like a military like kind of juvenile facility in Mississippi, of all places. So I woke up one morning. It was like the day where I ran away from home and I came back. That it was like I came back home. I was living with my grandparents because my mom has like a bit of a mental disability, and I was raised in a family with my grandparents, and I was I just never really had that motherly love or that fatherly love. I was growing up just almost with like an orphan heart, and I just grew up with my grandparents, and there was I would never forget this day, November. It was kind of cold. There was these two big guys that woke me up one morning, camouflage pants and huge two guys. They woke me up in front of my living room. I was sleeping in the living room. And they're like, "You're under arrest." In my living room. I'm like, okay. And I look up, and my grandfather, he's sitting on the on kind of like the sofa, and he's kind of weeping, he's crying. And my grandmother's there too. She's crying too, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And there's a suitcase out next to the door. And I start to get dressed. They give me like one little $50 bill and says, "Good luck." And these two guys, they just like, there's one guy in front of me. I'm in the middle, and this guy, the guy's behind me, and we're walking in formation. Like as far as they're escorting me out, right? And my Harabuchi goes, my grandfather goes, "Kwangyuna, 딱 1년만, just 1 year." I was like, okay. From that moment on, I was like, I don't know what's going on. We get to the airport, we land in Mississippi in front of this whole facility, pretty much electric fence, just like, scary place, right? I don't want to make this into a long story, but it was, as soon as I got there, they sat me down, they shaved my head, and it was one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. And I remember one time, so cold in like a December evening, they would wake us up at 3 a.m. and I would be in my skivvies, my military term for boxers, they would send us outside to do like jumping jacks and like bends and thrusts, a lot of exercise in the middle of the night in the cold, and in the summertime they would kind of have us like run around the track in the heat until I would almost pass out, and I was there for a very long time, and you know how, like, I truly believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. And I fully understood that purpose. Even though it was like a military facility, they still had church on Sundays. So we would go every Sunday. We would have service, and there would be this one white guy. I want to say kind of like a hillbilly type of dude singing, I can only imagine, every single Sunday. Just this one song every single Sunday. Like, I can only imagine every single Sunday. And it drove me nuts. I was at a church called Xinguang, New York Xinguang Kyue, and I was in the youth group there, and I was able to like learn the guitar and drums when I was young. So when I got there, this guy he incredibly just annoyed me so much to the point where I was like, the instructor, he has a mic, there's a tape recorder, he would play the instrumental every single Sunday, I can only imagine, right? So I'm like, sir, I have an idea. I can sing, I can play guitar. In this whole military facility, the time I've been here for about 4 months, 3 months, I made friends with the drummer. I made friends with the keyboard player. There's an electric guitar player here. There's talent in this place. And I was like, sir, I believe we can make a worship team. And he was almost stunned at the idea that he just kind of shut me off a little bit at first. But I kept on going to him, and he was like, all right, fine. They hire a music director in the town, and they rent all of this equipment. So we're talking about a new drum set, like a keyboard, an acoustic guitar, a chandelier for the drummer, just full on, they install everything. And the team gets together and we practice and we practice and we practice. And it was the first night where we got to lead worship instead of I Can Only Imagine. we had about four songs we sang. And the first song, and I have to give you context so you understand. There's guys on one side of the congregation, and then there's girls, for juvenile girls. And whenever the guys, you know, because you're in this camp full of men for years and years, in reality, you never get to see a female. So if the guys turn right, and if they got caught looking at a girl, there is like a glass window outside right here, and then the instructor would stand right here and say, hey, you, come here. And he would be able to do a lot of exercise in front of the whole church. Embarrassing if you got caught looking at a girl. So to put that into context, our worship team, we led worship that first night, and you know, everybody's just being really, just staying still, you know. I asked the congregation to stand. Hey, let's stand and let's worship God tonight. Let's give it all that we have. And song after song, it was like a miracle. So people started to kind of like raise their hand, like, oh. People started to really engage in worship. And by the third song, the view of the sanctuary, people started going on their knees. Men and women started coming to the front, coming to the altar. And after I got done, I spoke with them, and almost about, I want to say 95% of the people that are there, they rededicated their life to Christ that night. And it was, and then I realized, God, you had a purpose for me. Even though I was in mixed with the wrong crowd, and my family sent me to a place that I was just, God, you have a plan and a purpose for me. And I come here today. My wife is in the back filming me, and I want to say that God truly has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. It might not be the biggest churches of all, but you have a leadership here. You have people that truly believe in God, and it's kind of hard because my wife and I we went through a miscarriage about last year. It's coming close to a year, and we named our little girls. They were twins. And we lost them at the fifth month. They just decided to come a little early, and we named them Faith, and the second one Hope, and my last name is Hyun, and it's Faith and Hope Hyun. And every obstacle that has came my way, God always gave me faith, and God always gave me a hope that said, even though whatever I'm going through, it doesn't matter how big your church is, it doesn't matter how, wherever you are, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You might not seem like it's so significant what you're doing right now. And it might feel that it's really just not working anymore. But I truly believe that God has a plan. And I remember a story that said, you know, Satan, if Jesus, he died on the cross and he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And if Satan didn't knew, if he didn't know, like, he wouldn't have let Jesus die. Like, he pretty much thought he could win. It's really kind of hard to say. Jesus knows each and every one of you. He knows what you're going through. And Satan and the enemy, whatever he brings at your feet, God has given us the keys to the kingdom. And yeah, I truly believe that there's a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. Whether this place is small or not, my wife and I, we lead a youth group back in Fort Worth, Texas. And it's not like there's like hundreds of people, but God has given you such an amount to steward, and I believe that He'll give you more if you are willing to steward what you have. So I pray that that encourages you, and just don't ever give up, because you don't have to go through all of this stuff that I've been through. But everyone has y'all's own story. And I pray that God can truly be able to use your story to help people. And yeah, so let me pray. And let's get out of here. Let's have some food, shall we? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this time. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have brought me to such a place where I can be able to share a testimony and really know that your love, that Jesus, your love, that the sacrifice you made for us, and as we learned about your beauty today, Father, I thank you, Lord, that that we can be an encouragement to the people around us. And Father God, this city that we are in, Father, I pray that this church, that this ministry can be an addition, can be a light in this community, in this city. And Father, I pray for the people that are here in this room. Father, I just pray a blessing over each and every one of them. And I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you.